live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 200. We hit the big milestone, 200 episodes. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
What's going on, man? You know, just trying to, you know, enjoy some of this spring-like weather here we have in February in the Circle City. But, you know, and unfortunately, you know, the snow is right around the corner, right? But like, yo, man, I know we got a, rather than saying, regardless of all that, I know we got a great show lined up for tonight. I know we got to talk a little Super Bowl and another thing. So please, Brandon, give us the rundown.
Yeah, tonight's recap, talking a little bit of Super Bowl, our thoughts on the Super Bowl. I know we've heard it ad nauseum from other people. We kind of give our takes on the Super Bowl and as well as kind of the off-season news and notes, thoughts on the halftime show and such. A little bit of college basketball this evening we'll touch on. Only an hour and a half show tonight, so we'll touch on some college basketball, a little bit of NBA. Obviously, we had the trade deadline after our show last week. The big thing on Thursday was the James Harden-Ben Simmons trade, so we'll kind of talk that. Some quick hitters. I've got some futures talk with the NFL, and also this weekend also is the Daytona 500, so a little of the Daytona 500 talk. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, The Walking Dead's back this weekend, but at the end of the episode, you'll have to give a spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear it, should turn it off, because myself and JB will kind of do a little talk. It'll come out. We got to see it a little bit early. So we'll talk that. Take your calls in more. Hour and a half tonight. We'll wrap up at 8 o'clock. And then next week, a little housekeeping. Next week actually may be an off week for us, like, before we start season 5 of Crossroads Sports Radio the following week. So I look back, actually, John, it was a year ago. We actually had a 2-week break, and then we started season 4. So season 5 is right around the corner.
Okay. I can't wait, man. So, I'm going to ask a dumb question. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's dive right into that Super Bowl. Rams, Super Bowl champions, team of destiny, as they've been duly noted, win the Super Bowl 23-20. Heck of a game. Bets-wise, hey, I had the Bengals plus 4.5 and the under. Both of those hit. Tucker had Bengals plus 4.5. That hit, so he's 2-1 in his Super Bowl picks as well. Rams win. Cooper Kupp MVP. Scored the last touchdown with just under less than 2 minutes left in the game. Back and forth game, John. Odell Beckham gets hurt, and then it looked like Sean McVay and the Rams kind of pissed their pants, weren't sure where to go to after Odell got hurt. Then the Bengals made their comeback, and then the Rams find a way. They needed one drive, one score. Rams do end up getting it. Rams, team of destiny, Super Bowl champs.
Oh, man, where do I start at, man? It's going to sound refreshing, right? So I know a lot of people to the southeast of us are a little pissed at the play calling or lack – not play calling, but the officiating or lack thereof. When I look at it from with an unbiased view, man, there was a lot of plays, holding calls, especially and including the T. Higgins, you know what I'm saying, helmet pull on Ramsey that wasn't called, man. So you could say an uneven play officiated game, especially with the when they were on 4th-and-1. And, you know what I'm saying, was it a hole? When it was called, when Stafford threw the ball and his defensive back basically batted out of the way of Kupp, I do believe that was the tender receiver. Was it an egregious hole? No, but was it a hole for sure? So, but, you know what I'm saying, we hadn't got that type of consistent, like, you know, it hadn't seemed like they got that type of consistent officiating throughout the game. So I don't think it put a black eye outside of the folks who live in Cincinnati, right? On the game, because, you know what I'm saying, when they look at it, when you look at the real meat of why the Cincinnati Bengals lost, man, you know, so again, you know what I'm saying, at this point, of the season, and teams, you know what I'm saying, your team's weakness gets exposed, and the weakness of the Cincinnati Bengals is their offensive line. Joe Burrow, you know what I'm saying, it's seven sacks. We can say six, you know what I'm saying, but it was seven total sacks that he you know what I'm saying, withstood. And still they had, you know what I'm saying, the opportunity to win the game. You know what I'm saying, they were within striking distance, you know what I mean. Things had to go their way, but when you got Aaron Donald coming up the middle, you got Von Miller coming up through the side, you know what I'm saying, and you got a hungry defense that knows is right there, you know what I'm saying, Super Bowl wins right there within, you know, clinching, you know what I'm saying. The second half was dominated by the defense of the Rams, and I know, you know what I'm saying, Stafford threw, you know what, two picks, three touchdowns. It's not necessarily the greatest QBR by any remember the imagination. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, from the Detroit market, you know what I'm saying, was thinking maybe Stafford should have been the MVP because Cooper Kupp doesn't throw that ball to himself. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But that was one of the, you know what I'm saying, with Cooper Kupp making the catch that he did make, especially with Odell going down, that right there solidified him for the MVP. It probably could have went either way with...
Yeah, I was going to say, what was your thoughts on that? Should Aaron Donald have been named MVP, you think?
Right, could have went either way, but you know what I'm saying, the offense is, you know what I'm saying, it's an offensive league, you know what I mean? So, and you think about it, again, they came up with the stops, right, to you know what I'm saying, it's Aaron Donald, because going into the halftime, I do believe the Bengals were up, right, and they ultimately had momentum because they had the ball back, they got the ball back in the second half, at the top of the second half. So, now what they did with it, you know what I'm saying, that, again, that's on the defense, you know what I'm saying, we can appraise. It's easy to look at the tape. Of course, you know, so Aaron Donald's pushing guys back it's not even funny. You know what I'm saying? He's a grown man pushing other grown men back. You know what I'm saying? Stopping running backs. You know what I'm saying? All that from getting progress. So, but when winning time, but that's what the defense is supposed to do though, Brandon. And I'm not saying they don't. You know what I'm saying? He gets credit for, he and Von Miller and the rest of that defense get credit for what they do. But you know, it's not like, I will say this, but it's not like Cincinnati, though not as name heralded as the Rams defense, it's not like they didn't put, they put a lick on Stafford. I do believe they had one sack, and they had, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, they had two picks, whether whoever's fault it was, you know what I'm saying. So again, we're looking at some somewhat comparable defenses if you look at it in that regard. But no, again, man, I think I don't have any problem with Cooper Kupp winning it. You know what I'm saying? He came up clutch. You talking about the tight end being out, Higbee. He was out, right? Starting tight end, who also plays an important part in the passing game, as well as the you know what I'm saying, as well as blocking for you know what I'm saying, extra blocker for an offensive line. So, you know, where did they go to? Say what now?
And Robert Woods, their number two wide receiver, was out.
Right. So, you know, for Cooper, and so it makes sense. Man. So like now, you know what I'm saying, for anybody who feels like kind of like pissed about Aaron Donald not getting it, it makes sense, man. They knew Cooper Kupp was coming, or they should have known, because, oh, my goodness, he's got all – he's a triple crown winner for wide receivers, is he not? You know what I'm saying, prior to this game. So there's no way that nobody knew, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't coming. And yet still, you know what I'm saying, pulled it out. He's the one that basically lined up as a running back and got the first down on I think was that a third one? I think it was. And then, again, he was the one that ultimately caught two touchdowns, I do believe. So, again, man, stars came out that night and showed up. The Rams just have a little bit more star power throughout the team. And like I said, the Rams won the team of destiny, and they finally won for L.A.
Yeah, I have a couple things. Number one, I thought it was overall, you know, we don't throw very many flags the entire game. And then that final drive for the Rams, there was four thrown on five plays there at the end zone. Should Cooper Kupp possibly came out for concussion protocol when it is helmet to helmet at the end zone? You can call that either way. I don't think he was laying there, but I think he was more pissed that he didn't catch the ball to win it than he was injured, most likely. So I don't give him much with that. I think the biggest thing for me is the Bengals, it's third and one, and you throw a passing play, and you don't complete it, and then you have fourth and one, and you do another passing play there, and obviously Aaron Donald then kind of wreak havoc, and Burrow has to throw a Carson Wentz special pass that hope to God gets completed. Obviously, it doesn't. So I question that those two play calls there on that final drive for the Bengals, 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1, and you both pass and you pass both of them. I also question the fact that Joe Mixon wasn't in the game there, and they went with P. Ryan. Mixon's your pass catching back as well as your main running back and your pass catching back. I know P. Ryan's supposed to be your blocking guy, but P. Ryan, if you look, wasn't blocking on either one of those two plays. He was going out receiving. So I kind of question that play call as well, why or package as to why he was in there and not your top guy where you need those type of guys, Joe Mixon, in there. So I question those two things for the Bengals in that game.
Yeah, well, here we are. So I would say this, though, Brandon. So I know it's not necessarily – there's really nothing that the Cincinnati Bengals can hang their head on. The only thing I do question it was, like, the coach for the Bengals went kind of early on a chasing points, or, you know what I'm saying, before the game, you know what I'm saying, got, you know what I'm saying, really heated, you know what I'm saying, chasing points on a, instead of, like, you know, yeah, I don't – they weren't in field goal range. Well, they would. They got a massive field goal kicker, you know what I'm saying. But I don't think they were in field goal range when they went for that when that 4th and 1 in midfield and didn't get it. But you know what I'm saying. Again, that Super Bowl's in the past. You know what I'm saying. The victors are the Rams. I would say, man, you know, the Bengals. You know, you have the quarterback, right? You know, you have a solid core secondary. Right, maybe not name recognizable as Aaron Donald, you know what I'm saying, or any other defense or Ramsey, you know what I'm saying. But then you know that you have a pretty good, you know what I'm saying, I would say B-plus level, maybe, you know what I'm saying, maybe even A-plus level type of secondary. But my goodness, you gotta fix the offensive line. You cannot have your quarterback take that kind of punishment, even though, you know what I'm saying, they still succeeded and got to this point. You know what I'm saying, how long do you want this run? Think about it, man. He's Joe Cool for real. He, you know what I'm saying? That kid could be special to the point that you can make it an argument for the Bengals that they are just right on par, right up there next year to be favored between them and Kansas City to win the AFC. I know you don't want to hear that being a Steelers fan and them coming out of your division, but I mean, I necessarily don't want to hear being a Colts fan being considering the quarterback question marks that we have with this team. But you know, saying those, the top three teams are the, not necessarily any apparent order, would be the Bengals, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Buffalo Bills. And again, all of them have their weaknesses, or you know, saying something that they need to repair. I would say this, Brandon, and I'll let you go give your thoughts on the future of both teams, because I'm gonna chime in about the Rams as well. I would say it's easier for the Bengals to repair their offensive line problem than it is for Kansas City to fix their defensive problems. Kansas City, you know what I'm saying, piss poor defense, horrible. Then maybe the league is also kind of catching up just a little bit to what Patrick Mahomes does, right? Just a little bit. I'm not saying a lot. He's still a future Hall of Famer, Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? Still, if they ever figure out that defense to where he's not always having to put his cape on to win games for him, they're right back in it. But you know what I'm saying, you know how hard it is to find a pass rusher, you know what I'm saying, in this NFL. Hell, the Colts still looking for one, and you know what I'm saying, since the retirement of Mathis, right? And how long has that been, you know? So but offensive line, it's not that you just automatically find you a big goon or guy, you know what I'm saying, from Iowa, Wisconsin, and plug that hole in, or maybe even steal Quentin Nelson from the Colts. You know what I'm saying? But those are options, you know what I'm saying, that they can go through. And those are easier options than potentially fixing their defense, which I don't think the Bengals have an issue with their defense. They've got an issue protecting their quarterback. They fix that, Brandon, they're right back here next year, you know what I'm saying, and maybe even winning it all.
I think this is it for the Bengals. Because history shows, John. This is one of the most cheap organizations ran in the NFL. They don't like to spend money. And here's what I'm concerned with the Bengals, and I think Bengals fans should be concerned. The Browns, the owners of the Bengals, I can easily see them being content with this. Hey, you know what? We made it. We weren't even supposed to be here. We made it this year. We made a great run. Season tickets were up and yada, yada, yada. Hey, we're happy. We didn't even expect it here. And they fall into that content mode because that's what the Cincinnati Bengals do in the past. I'm not saying they're not going to sit there and make the playoffs next year or they're not going to have a successful season, a winning season. I just don't think – I think they're content. I don't think they're going to go out and spend money. I don't think they're going to go out and, you know, it's not an attractive place to go, Cincinnati. They've worked very well in the draft and such. I just really honestly think that they're going to be content, and ownership and them are content with, hey, we're playing with house money. The fans are basically going to be happy. They're not on our asses.
So,
you know, let that right a couple
so you
years.
You don't take what Gronkowski said as serious. You think Gronkowski has retired.
No.
And we know there's no way he's going to play.
I think it was taken out of context. Here's my other thing. If you look at the rest of the AFC, I was looking at odds. I like to look at futures already for next year's NFL championship and whatnot, where the Vegas has everything. Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs, they have them as a favorite to win. The main favorites at +750. A co-favorite to win next year is the Buffalo Bills, also at 750. The Rams are third at +1,000 to repeat as champs.
Okay.
Fourth, they have the Dallas Cowboys. You got them at fourth, and they got the Bengals at sixth. For perspective, they've got Colts at number 15, and then they've got the Steelers at 23. So for next year, so that's Vegas. That's why based on the history of the Bengals, I'm sorry, Bengals fans, it was a good run. I think the Browns, the owners, I think they just go cheap and they're content with what the hell they just had, and the fan base is happy. And they're gonna ride on that success for a couple of years, and it's gonna piss off whoever. Sorry, I just think that's what it is. Buffalo and Cincinnati.
I know not to ever go against Vegas. I get that. I stand by my notion that the top three teams will be Kansas City, the Bengals, and Buffalo next year. We don't know who the hell the Colts quarterback is going to be. We know it ain't gonna be Carson Wentz, right? You know what I mean? So, and I know there's a drum beatings for Matt Ryan. Stop it. I thought Matt Ryan was going to retire. I thought we were going to have a conversation, an announcement after the Super Bowl about Matt Ryan retiring. Now, you know what I'm saying, folks are thinking Matt Ryan's coming here. So, again, I don't know how the Colts are in the top 10 or either top 6 or any type, anybody's conversation, Vegas or Atlantic City or whoever's making up these odds about them winning the Super Bowl. Unless they really know – Brandon, how in order to get Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy G, or Russell Wilson, you got to have draft capital. Where our draft capital, the Colts draft capital this year is going to Philadelphia. So unless somebody just going to automatically cut somebody and do the Colts a favor, and you know, saying they hire somebody, because again, you might be able to get back into a third round, fourth round situation if you trade Wentz to Washington or Saints. Or somebody who doesn't have a quarterback worth, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying? No disrespect to the quarterback room they have there. But Wentz is a C+. I graded Wentz this year as a C+, but that's a C+ with an offensive line. You see what I'm saying? So, but again, I don't think he's trash. I just think he's, you know what I'm saying, just an average quarterback. But, you know, with the reports, I don't understand how you – I don't understand how he – You know what I'm saying? I don't understand how he gets traded to any team when they know they can get him without having to trade any assets based on the reports, because the Colts are trying to, you know what I'm saying, not deal with a $15 million, you know what I'm saying, salary cap hit, right? I don't know about the Rams. I was all in Team of Destiny, right? And you were like, damn, Jonathan. I was all in Team of Destiny like the last three or four seasons, right? Stafford will still be there, right? We know that. Odell is going to be in rehab, plus rehabbing his knee, plus, you know what I'm saying, he's a free agent. So you don't have that. You get him back, you get your tight end back. they don't have any draft capital. We get that. Their owner doesn't mind spending, but who's the, you know what I'm saying, you got to re-up Aaron Donald. So what does that number look like? You know what I mean? And if you, and if Cooper Kupp, you know what I'm saying, we're not going to put Cooper Kupp on an island, even though he's MVP of the Super Bowl. You got to have a complimentary back, I mean, wide out to kind of, you know what I'm saying, go so he can do what he can do, go down the field, right? So the NFC, I get why they would put the Rams at the top. Tampa Bay's not going to be there because Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, folks. Aaron Rodgers ain't coming to Tampa Bay. I know we got a lot of folks down in Miami listening. I'm pretty sure we got some folks down in Tampa Bay listening to our conversations too. Aaron Rodgers ain't going to Tampa Bay. It's not going to happen. You might get you a Jimmy G. It's possible. I'm up the notion thinking Jimmy G's going to be playing somewhere sunny. You know what I mean? But you're not getting Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson. Who knows what that's going? Who knows what that looks like? I think he might even stay in Seattle. I think it's a lot of talk. You know what I mean, Brandon? So, I'll listen to some other football folks. They think the Chargers are due next year. I can't buy into any of these. You know what I'm saying? Some of these futures. I look at what I just saw. I understand teams are going to get better either through the draft, either through free agency. You know what I mean? I just think the world of quarterbacks that play for the Bengals, that play for the Buffalo Bills, that play for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think, much as people hated on Stafford, I think he's put himself in a position, right? An elite. He's always been elite. He's played for a shitty team, in Detroit. And then you look at the rest of the NFC. They're trying to give Jimmy Garoppolo away to turn it over to a rookie. And he won't be a rookie, be a second year player, but there's still going to be some things, a learning curve there. So, I don't know, Brandon. Like, I think the AFC hangs the banner again next year. I mean, not again, but I'm sorry. I think the AFC takes the banner over next year because, depending upon how much money they're going to really invest, do you really trust Aaron Rodgers to win it all again? I know we got Green Bay fans, Cheesehead listening to me. I know that. They're going to hate what I'm saying. You really think Aaron Rodgers is
going to win it all? Let that sit in, Packer fans.
But no, man, you think Aaron Rodgers is going to get it done next year?
If he's in Green Bay? Yes, I think he does. I do think he does stay there now.
Wow.
But here's, John, here's the reason real quick. I'll let you get your answer. Because
I didn't say stay there. I'm talking about get it done.
I think they got a great chance as long as they keep number 17 there with him. I think they've got it.
Okay.
Just because it's so much easier in that division. Like, that's the easiest division to get you back in the playoffs. That's 6 wins right there for you if you sweep them all.
And then
when you say your home game, your other home games, you go 7-1, 8-1 or whatever, 9-1, whatever it is for your home games, you're right back there, home field, and you can maybe get it done. I mean, I know it's going to linger, but you look at all these other teams, there's only a handful of teams that he could possibly go in there and say, hey, I have a better shot than what I have in Green Bay right now to win. Does he look at Indianapolis Colts as a possible team? Yeah, I think he could easily look at the Indianapolis Colts as a team to play for and have a chance to win a championship. But you got Tennessee you got to contend with, for a division where in the NFC North, you don't have to worry about any of those other three teams. Do you look at Denver? I mean, Denver's got a good wide receiving corps, but the running backs are eh. You got to deal with Patty Mahomes, future Hall of Famer. And then you got to deal with Justin Herbert and all these young guns. Do you really want to go to AFC West and deal with that? Why you got the NFC North? No. Why do you want to do that? You could be the king of the NFC right now. I know Matt Stafford and them just won or whatnot, but you look at the quarterbacks over there. If you move to the AFC, Josh Allen, Patty Mahomes, Joe Burrow, I mean, you're just another name over there, Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. But if you stay in the NFC, stay in there. I think more and more, I think he's going to end up staying. It makes the perfect sense. Either that or retire, one of the two.
Well, I don't think he's gonna retire.
He's single now. They broke up today.
What?
Him and his girl, they split. The engagement's off.
Oh my God, this dude.
She said that she wasn't getting enough. Aaron Rodgers was focusing too much on football and not enough. She felt left out.
Wow. Well. He is one of the more recognized football players in the world. You should kind of got to know that going into this relationship. I think he gets another MVP, man, but I don't see them winning it at all. Not at all. Not next year.
Let me ask you something that's a little more important to you, I feel like. What's your thoughts on that halftime show, man?
So, man, I don't know. A lot of times people become prisoners of the moment, and they automatically want to say what they just saw was the greatest thing they ever seen. From a hip-hop standpoint, that was a great moment because a lot of times hip-hop acts, have not necessarily made it up to that level of entertainment, especially, somebody of a hardcore nature like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. Those are music, regardless of what, those are songs and whatnot that you can't play for your mama. Okay, that they cleaned up real well for the 80 million viewers that watched the Super Bowl, but I thought that was a good moment for hip hop music. Mary J. Blige, Eminem,
a lot of people didn't like Mary. I saw on Twitter.
Well, and that's because Mary J. Blige is not a crossover type of artist. She has a lot of mainstream music, but she's not a pop artist per se. It's not a knock is what I'm getting to say. She's not a pop artist like Beyonce or Janet Jackson.
Right.
She doesn't go in that type of lane. So, but I thought it was a great time. I mean, I knew every song. I was singing it. I was singing word for word every song. That the artists perform. No, was it better than Prince's? Absolutely not. You talking about Prince playing piano, Prince playing a guitar, Prince dancing in 6-inch heels, and there's just a lot of showmanship with Prince as well as Michael Jackson. So those are two of unforgettable Super Bowl performances, as well as didn't Bono and Sting do a halftime performance as well? Again, I thought that was pretty great as well. But now this is definitely, for me, probably my top five. I can't necessarily rank them right now in front of me, but it's definitely my top five. Dr. Dre, Eminem. I followed Dr. Dre ever since seemingly, his days and when I was a ninth grader, buying, wasn't supposed to be buying, dirty tapes. that I had to play when my mother wasn't at home. Mother and father wasn't home. But I've been familiar with Dr. Dre since I was in the ninth grade. I thought it was great performance by all the participants, man. And like I said, it's probably in my personal top five. I can see why somebody wouldn't necessarily like it, but for me, it's in my top five.
I thought it was good. I liked it. It just kind of showed out the age of everybody, with some of it going on. I thought everything was fine. 50 Cent, I thought he looked like 350 Cent instead of 50 Cent. A little heavier, 50, but overall, it was kind of good to see him out there performing the ballads. Like I said, I thought it was a good halftime show. I know you got the younger generation, like, who the hell is this? And then we're all like, oh, my God, it's awesome. But you're going to have a different generation where everybody like this, like, I was like, what the hell, back when the Rolling Stones played, and everybody loved the Rolling Stones, and I thought that was the greatest. I was like, hey, that was all right. It's going to be, you're going to have that. So I thought overall it was good. Good show, a lot of good music to bump out to. I like seeing the videos on Twitter, just kind of everybody either dancing or so, and then the kids are like, what the hell, or what's, going on with that. So, I thought it was good. Oh my goodness, I just saw something. Here we go. Breaking news from the world of the NFL. Report. Cardinals quarterback, as we talked about, Kyler Murray. Reportedly, John has had a recent meeting with the ownership in which he has made multiple demands. One of those demands... Uh-oh. The Cardinals must land Cowboys C.D. Lamb through a trade. Murray, quote, strongly desires playing with his close friend on the same team. So
what?
We got Kyler out here trying to do stuff now, demanding trades and such.
Oh, man. C.D. Lamb's not – I thought C.D. Lamb was on the contract. I didn't think he was a free agent.
He is. He wants him through a trade.
Oh, wow. Isn't that technically like tampering or something like that? I didn't think they were openly talking. I think they're supposed to openly talk about who they wanted to play for one another.
He hasn't done anything to demand trade yet, right? He hasn't earned it.
Yeah. Again, we can't. You gotta show us a little bit more, man. There's something brewing going on. I kind of thought everything was kind of cool and bubbly, with Arizona and Kyler Murray and that coach. Hell, the coach had the opportunity to go back to college, if anybody remembers. You know what I'm saying? His name was kind of got bantied about for the USC job and the Texas job from a couple of years ago, if I do recall. But they've kind of went all. I mean, I'm not trying to paint him like to be the bad guy here. He's getting into some type of diva moments here now, though, Brandon, and listening audience. Like, you know what I'm saying, the deal last week, pulling all his social media accounts, pulling, you know, to stop following. People follow me and unfollow me all the time. I can care less, you know what I'm saying? But when you do that from the team that you play for, it causes waves and ripples, and people want to know, what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Now, and I know that kind of all, whatever, got, you know what I'm saying, hushed up, blown over, whatever. But now, and smart people know he's in a contract situation. But like now, you're saying, you know, you want them to get CeeDee Lamb. Well, maybe if CeeDee Lamb doesn't necessarily fit what y'all really need, you know what I mean? Why would you want to? I mean, how does you're putting a lot of demands when you haven't really done a whole hell of a lot, you know,
right,
to deserve to be demanding. They put together a real good, solid team for that coach and for that particular quarterback to succeed. Now, I get it that he got hurt or whatever during the middle part of the season. You know what I'm saying? My reasonable thinking, like, man, you need to get another offensive lineman. You know what I'm saying? Or you need to get some help with your running back support so that you don't have to do a whole lot of scrambling. I get it that you might want to play with another tight end, you know, super tight receiver, but – like, dude, let them. Sometimes you gotta let the people that work in the office and watch the tapes and all that, you know what I'm saying, pick out the groceries and not necessarily the players on the field. I know that's gonna sound hypocritical coming out of my mouth, you know what I'm saying, but sometimes it's best just to let the scouts and the whatnot choose who you play with rather than you going buddy up and playing buddy ball. Buddy ball don't always work, as anybody can see what's going on in LA right now, the Lakers.
Right. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. You just saw that news came out. John, it was also reported over the weekend, or I guess it was earlier this week on Monday, Colts are expected to release or trade Carson Wentz before the March 15th deadline, $15 million guaranteed after that. You got to think, you know, you're basically, if you release this guy here, you lose your that first round pick, you know, you got nothing. You just gave it away for free, basically. Because of the failure this year. And so you lost that first-round pick to Philadelphia. No quarterback on the coming in immediately that you can look at. And I always thought it was interesting, people put that information expected to release or trade. Well, if you're other football teams and you want to kick the tires, why the hell wouldn't you just wait for them to release him? Why would you trade assets and draft and your own capital for Carson Wentz,
right,
and you know he's just going to be released? Like, I don't understand why that information always comes out like that.
right. That's exactly what I just said.
I am nervous. I am nervous because a lot of things I'm seeing are linking the Steelers and Carson Wentz on free agency. So I am very nervous on doing that. I'd rather go another year with Mason Rudolph.
He's better than Mason Rudolph. I don't foresee him landing in Pittsburgh. If he did, again, you're looking at a even more controlled type of game, I would imagine. You know, I'm just putting it, you know what I'm saying, fantasy type of what I'm saying. I would imagine they're going to also try to improve their offensive line in Pittsburgh over the offseason. I would imagine they're also going to try to improve some of their running game, the rush attack in Pittsburgh. And you know what I'm saying, you'd be looking at Mike Tomlin would be running a controlled game with Carson Wentz, where, you know what I'm saying, they wouldn't be putting him in a position to be trying to win football games, like you know what I'm saying, Joe Burrow, or win football games, you know what I'm saying, somewhere like an elite quarterback. I don't know. You shouldn't be nervous with that. With Pittsburgh, if he did land in Pittsburgh, I don't foresee it. But if he did land in Pittsburgh, man, that puts you right back in the playoff. I mean, I'll be honest, put you back in the playoff hunt. Your coach staff there is probably better than we have right here from a play calling standpoint. Again, I think they would use a player like Wentz a little bit more wisely than what the Colts who had blinders on and what they were seeing. I took exceptions to, you know what I'm saying, Wentz's play. I think he's a C-plus quarterback if he had to put a grade on it. You know what I'm saying? The Colts with this offensive line made him look better than he did last two seasons in Philadelphia. That's because we have a better offensive line. But that is to say that, when he left Philadelphia, the offensive line, it improved, you know what I'm saying, dramatically. They went from last to, like, you know what I'm saying, to, like, top 10, so, or top 12. So, you know, Wentz has got to get better at reading defenses. That's his big thing, and knowing not when to pull a, you know what I'm saying, pull a Carson Wentz when he, you know what I'm saying, when the play's not there and you're still trying to make a play. Sometimes you either got to throw away or just tuck and take a sack. You know what I'm saying? A poor interception, a pick six, you know what I'm saying, interception, you know, does nothing to help your team. So I don't know. I think he ends up, like I said, I think he ends up with a team. I don't know if he's going to end up in a trade. But there are teams that will take Carson Wentz because, again, like I said, there's a lot of pissy poor quarterback play around the league. And like, again, he is a competent quarterback. They can win you by six. I'll be winning you by five or six games.
Okay. We'll take our guy. Got our call. Sweet Lou. What's going on, Sweet Lou?
Yo. How are you? Hey, did
I'm
I
good.
Get the 200 show? Did I get
200, yeah.
Episode?
Yes, sir.
What a coincidence. Maya is next week.
Oh, there we go. Code 200. I like
somewhere,
it.
Somewhere around that number. Well, yes and no. It's 200 I posted the current show, but all together from, you know, the substituting and the closing, it's actually, it's more like close to 270. So, but this is, it'll be the 200 show of my show I've been hosting, I think, next Saturday. So, yeah.
Nice.
Well, anyway.
You as well.
Well, anyway, this is one of the better Super Bowls I think we've had in quite some time. Down to a three-point game, and kind of similar to what the Bengals went through back the last time they went to the Super Bowl, and choking in the last minute. Still there?
Hold on, did we lose
it? I'm here.
I think we lost Reek, though.
Oh, yeah. So it was kind of similar to what the Bengals went through the last time with the Super Bowl. They had in the bag,
30,
and then they lost
it. That
was
over 30 years ago.
32, to be exact. 33.
Okay.
33.
Okay. So what did you think?
Yep.
What do you think about next year's futures? Can the Bengals bounce back and get to this point, or do the Rams, you know what I'm saying, become the kings of the NFC with Tom Brady retiring?
No, I don't see that. Not in this day and age. It's very tough to repeat, you know, as champions for the Super Bowl or even the team that finished second. Because I'll tell you right now, the team that usually loses the Super Bowl goes on a downward spiral because, you know, That's a tough loss to get over, you know,
right,
and
right.
It kind of sticks to you for a while, you know. So I don't really see
right.
it. And of course, what I also with the winner now, I know I guess it's kind of ridiculous, but I believe what's called a championship hangover. You know, they're so hung up, they're whole high strung from last year. Hey, we're the Super Bowl champs. We're going to be in again. We're going to be back here. You get so cockeyed and everything about that you forget you got to play another season, and all of a sudden you go from like a let's say 13-4 to like 7-10, and you won't make it because you're so high from last year. You forgot about this year, duh. So
yeah,
it's kind of hard to say you're going to be back the next season because the odds are you probably won't. Like, oh, they got to
gotcha.
Oh, they got easy schedule. They got to play against the Super Bowl champions. Yeah, that was last year. Now you've moved on this year. Does that mean you're going to be the same team as you were before, good or bad? I mean, you could be a lousy team 1 year and be good the next, like the Bengals were. They sucked last year. Look at them this year. They went from worst to first in their division in the conference. But does that mean they're going to be the same success in the next season? Absolutely not. Unless you're the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
That's another story right there.
So,
ah.
So I gotta ask you, Sweet Lou. So what do you think about the NFL potentially having a facelift with players moving? What I mean by players, I mean like quarterbacks. Speculation, you know what I'm saying? Is running rampant about where Aaron Rodgers lands at, where Russell Wilson potentially lands at, and what they do with
nothing
the quarterback.
Nothing new at all. I mean, that's been going on for some time now.
It can hurt
your team though, because you know you have such a powerful weapon that you've had for so long, and sometimes it takes only one player to change the whole team's outlook. I mean, if Rodgers does go, that could hurt Green Bay. I mean, look what happened when Tom Brady and the Gronk in there left the Patriots. What happened? They went from riding high, winning a Super Bowl, to like, what the hell happened? We just fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
Like
right.
Brought in to replace him.
I got one question, Lou. I was seeing reports
Name it.
That people were talking about Zach Wilson. Do the Jets – somebody said that Jets got to look at getting a quarterback in the free agency or look at the draft. They can't kick the tires already on Zach Wilson, right? It's too soon. You got to give it another year or two, right?
You do have to give it another year. I mean, look what you got prior to that. We gave him 3 seasons. He sucked all 3 of them, but then went to the Falcons and still came there. I mean, Sam Darnold was awful. We gave him 3 seasons. So if we can put up with a schmo like that, I mean, I think we got to give Zach, one more year at least. It could have been rookie jitters or whatnot. Okay, I understand that. But if he continues to be a downward spiral and, sees ghosts or gets mono like Sam Darnold, then you got a problem, and then you got yourself a loser. I mean, a loser.
Okay. Sounds good.
Or
he's
called a turd.
What, Lou, what do you think of, on the basketball standpoint, the trade Philly, Brooklyn, Simmons going to Brooklyn, and then Harden bouncing out going to Philly?
Excuse me, I go throw up. Blech.
Oh,
how
wow.
could you be so stupid? How could you be so stupid? In trading for a guy who hasn't played all year because of whatever he was going through with his crapola, and then we got the leftover trash in that trade. We didn't get any worth noticing. We got the trash.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, Harden. I don't know why. I mean, Harden didn't want to stay where he was, so then he comes over to the Nets. Oh, but then he didn't like what's something going on, so he decides, I'm going to go to your right of Philadelphia. How's that? You like those apples? Not really. But, if he would have stayed there, we would have been in contention. I mean, the whole Nets, the big three has become a big letdown. They didn't play in more than like 4 games all season together. I mean, Harden, I think, is just being a little, shall we say, pompous. So now he goes over to Philadelphia and is ready and wants to bite us. I mean, Simmons is a bum. Believe me, he is a bum. I'm sorry to say it, but he didn't do much. He is not a good player. The team is good, Philadelphia, but Simmons is not. Simmons is like a case of poison ivy you want to get away from.
Lou, I got to ask you, this is our show number 200. What you got cooked up for your show 200 this weekend?
Well, if I look up off from throwing up, this is 199, actually, I think, coming up. Super Bowl recap, of course. We'll recap the game. We'll take what was the key moment of the game. We'll also look at what was the best commercials, the halftime show, which I thought was awful. We'll look at the NBA All-Star game. Okay, to each his own, to each his own. I understand. I'm more of an alternative rocker. I'm more of an alternative rocker guy, sorry. So we'll look at the NBA All-Star lineup.
Come back unless they do a hologram for him, Sweet Lou.
Right. But, hey, the All-Star lineup, we'll look at the All-Star weekend as well. The final week of the Olympics, so we'll get in touch with that. And if there's anybody in the auto racing world, we're going to discuss maybe a preview of Daytona, which is this Sunday. So if there's any auto racing fans in the crowd, hey, call in. I would love to hear it.
Beautiful.
And there'll be a couple of other things there. So the number to call is 512-543-4662. Again, 512-543-4662 from 5 to 7 East Coast time. Yeah, and I will discuss Major League Baseball with the lockout. And let's just say that there is a season, which I think at some point there will be. We'll go over each division of who is going to be, How are things going to do? Just assume that we will have a season, because I think at some point we will. We won't maybe have it in April. We might have it in May, but I do believe we will have a season. So,
wow.
But this is the time of year that I always go for, you know, baseball predictions after the Super Bowl.
I got
beautiful.
You. I got you.
Awesome.
I got
appreciate
you.
It.
But you guys like you're not.
Thanks, Lou.
Thank you.
All right, that's Sweet Lou. John, we're going to dive it right in. King of Trolls, Reggie Sykes, what's going on?
What's going on, man? What's going on? How y'all doing today?
Good, good. You?
I'm great, man. I'm great, man. It's a new day for the Pacers, you know, and
I knew that.
The moves the Pacers have made, and I'm quite thrilled. Even though they haven't won a game, I'm really excited at the possibilities with this game, especially if Gogo can learn to play a little defense. I would really be impressed with this game. I think this group, once we get Miles back, I know you don't like that comment, Jonathan, and once I think they get in a little bit better shape, because this is going to be a running team, you know.
Okay.
I agree with Buckner when he said they're getting the ball of the court in 21 seconds. And you got
to
admit that Tyrese was the steal of the trade. I mean, he was the steal of the trade. I mean, he is balling out, you know. He's giving it out, his all. He looked like he's buying into the system. It actually looked like all of them were buying into the system. You know?
He's better than Pooh Richardson. You're right.
Oh, wow.
Well,
oh,
you know
wow.
What? He's dead. He's definitely better than old boy who just got reinstated.
Tyreek
Evans.
Yes.
Hell, I'm just glad at the end of this year we're going to get Monte Ellis money off the cap finally.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to clear some salary cap because they're going to get rid of Rubio, and then they're going to get rid of I don't know if Thompson's going to be here or not, but actually, he hasn't given us too many bad minutes off the bench, I thought. I wish Jackson was back. I like the alley-oops and everything. Have you noticed that Hyde has even had a bunch of assists lately? I know he had a bunch of points yesterday, but everybody seems like they're sharing the ball. Sometimes I think a little too much. I'm just really pleased.
I was going to go back to my original thought, is that I don't think the Pacers got enough when you trade an all-star who's in his prime and you give it to a team that's trying to – I'm not – obviously the Kings ain't trying to make the playoffs this year, but I think the Kings who've been foolhardy with their draft selections and their team building for the past 5 years. I think with them trying to trade – when they did make the trade for a veteran like Sabonis, that means you really don't want to – you really don't have a youth movement. You shouldn't, right? So, like, you should have gave up – I was wanting more, another first-rounder to where the Pacers – you know, that's what they're going. They're going for a youth movement. You know what I mean? So, of course,
I think we got an awful lot. And if these guys start winning, we may get out of the draft.
We got an
lottery.
Awful lot.
I mean,
Perez,
we got an awful lot. Tyrese, he's
under contract, right? And I'm not saying that Buddy Hill ain't under contract. Buddy Hill would be another piece that they trade right around this time next year or before.
Hill may not get traded. He may not get traded.
Man,
I'm telling you, he may not get traded. No, I don't think so. I'm going
to
give you some inside information, okay, that you don't know that I do know, okay?
Uh-oh.
What you got?
I have a cousin.
Oh, boy.
Whose son-in-law is good friends with Buddy Hyde. So whenever he would come here to the Kings, he would give them tickets to the game. And they said he's actually happy being here. Now, I didn't ask him about the contract status, he's going to re-sign him, but they said he was ready to be out of Sacramento, and they said he actually likes it here. My cousin, his daughter is married to Buddy Hyde's friend. I'm not saying any names.
Well, you know what, John?
I'm not saying any names.
What Reggie just said, Buddy Hill can love Indianapolis all he wants, but the Pacers want to trade his ass. They're going to trade his ass.
That is true. But I think he showed enough. I think he showed enough that they will keep him and get rid of Malcolm Brogdon first. If
well,
he don't work out off the ball.
For sure.
If he doesn't work out off the ball, Brogdon's gone.
That's Right. Well, that's the thing, though, Reg. You gotta attach Malcolm Brogdon to something for another team to take. That's what I would say. Everybody knows Malcolm Brogdon is injury prone.
I'm
like,
telling you,
keep this dude out for 6 weeks.
He will be. If he doesn't work out off the ball, he would definitely be gone. Because there's some teams that still probably think they can play point guard. Because there was teams that wanted him before we wanted him, you know. And I just wonder if he's going to be able to run the floor like these young Bucks are running the floor.
With the young dudes.
So,
uh-huh.
Okay.
I just
– let me bring your twin on. He's been complaining.
That's twin.
Come on.
I don't have no twin. First of all,
gentlemen.
I hope you have last week's show take when he said take the Bengals and the Bengals lost. Didn't I tell you you would lose money listening to these guys?
I said the points.
Didn't I tell
I
you that?
I said the points and the under.
We both said
the
points,
under.
Reggie. We both said the points and under, and it's both of them hit. Both of us said it.
Hey, listen, fellas. Jonathan, I know you had a bad week last week when we talked. Let's get together and be friends again, man. Because this guy on the call here, I'm not sure what he's missing. But Reggie has a good point about one thing. Halliburton is going to be a guy who's going to replace Rodman, and he's going to make a difference Taste the Nation over the next 10 years. I'm going to say it right now.
I agree.
Now.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say it right now. I'm not talking about just being a player. I'm thinking being a difference maker. And here's why. Because you got to want to play. This guy left Sacramento unwillingly, and he says, I've got something to prove. It reminds me a little bit of the Jermaine O'Neal deal with Portland. Granted, he's not, you know, big and all that stuff. I get it. But I like it, right? But now the next move is we've still got to clean out the front office. Tamika Catchings left, and I hate that she left, but the wrong GM left Banker's life. Hold on, Kai.
Kevin Pritchard brought these guys in. So you got to give him credit when he does something wrong. They were trying to get us to take Fox. They were trying to get us to take Fox, and he wouldn't budge. He wouldn't budge.
I get it. But let me tell you this. He also created this mess.
No, we wanted
so
Fox.
So
Fox is the better player.
JB, we talked about this last week. So listen to what I'm saying. I understand what you're saying with the Fox situation. I get it regardless, right? But the same GM and president that made that trade last week is the same GM and president that got to the same bucket. So, no, I'm not doing this. Gotta go. I'm not doing this. You know, you can't go tit for tat. And you know what we got to do? Listen, this is going to be crazy. I think we need – I hate to say this. I don't want to see my boys lose nightly, but I'm not pained by us losing nightly. If I look at it right now, we're the fourth or fifth worst record in the NBA. Is that right, fellas?
Sure. Right. That's right.
Wow. Can you imagine going on a 10-game losing streak?
Well, they could get another guard. I get what you're saying, but they need a –
We don't need no more guards. We don't need no more guards. I mean, we can trade somebody, but we don't need any more guards. We need a power forward or center.
Right, they got to get big.
The thing, though.
Sure.
It creates flexibility, so you can do other things. You're not just plugged into the ninth spot, and you got to get the best available. At 2-3, 1-2-3, you've got more flexibility, and that's what they need because our leadership isn't very strong. We've seen that. So if they don't,
you're not going to keep emphasizing that because he's made up with this trade for the stuff. Hey, no, look, hold on, D-Con. Troy Craig for Smith.
Here's what I relate that to. You do bad things to your spouse Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and you bring her flowers on Friday. So you can't speak to the other things that you did. You already messed up. The only reason why Friday came is because you realized what you messed up before. I'm not impressed.
Hey, that sounds like some real
impressed.
Stuff that you've done in the past. The rest of us can't relate to that
me.
Because we're a good guy.
<not me. laughs> Oh, Lord have mercy. But what I'm saying is, listen, they dropped the ball on the leadership position, right? And I understand the Sabonis trade. You know why? Because I'm guessing that the Sabonis trade was the best trade they could get. I think Turner is going to leave in the summer. And I'm okay with that. But the bottom line is, if the leadership doesn't change, we're going to go in the same direction, man. Come on. Reggie, you're not fat.
Well, leadership also taking cues from ownership.
JB, next was, I would love to see a local ownership group look to buy these guys out. Because Simon has said, I'm not going to pay luxury tax. What he's saying is, I'm not looking for a championship. I'm looking to make money.
I don't agree with that. Look how many people don't want to play the luxury tax. The only teams that really don't mind the luxury tax are like the Lakers, the Knicks,
Reggie,
Nets,
we're
and the Clippers.
About the Reggie, here's the problem with you
other
novice
teams,
fans, Reggie. You're novice fans.
Other teams.
We're talking about the Pacers. We're not talking about other teams. We're talking about the Pacers, right? And so
but there's,
so,
there's only like,
what
you're not understanding.
Take it over.
You're not understanding the point I'm making.
Go ahead, Red.
There's only four teams that are willing to play the luxury tax. Everybody else fights to stay up under it. That's
the
point I'm making.
The two LA teams.
But there's a difference.
Those
other some of those other teams don't have 9 inches of snow in December. Some of those teams don't have a history of poor leadership in the front office. Some of those teams don't have a guy like Paul George saying, don't go to Indiana. Some of those teams.
Paul George is just butthurt.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Because the point
Paul
is valid. Because Paul George
what I'm
was
saying,
mad because he's got. You
got
to play power forward.
Hold on. What I'm saying.
Fellas, we
gotta,
hold
saying,
on.
Saying,
I got a question for both of you, man. So let me, because we can talk pages all night.
Can I answer first? Can I answer first?
Of course
first?
We don't have all
because
night.
If I don't answer first, Reggie's not going to let me answer. So can I answer first?
Okay, we'll let you answer this one first. Who is the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts next season?
Man, I thought you were asking a paper question. I don't give three shits. It doesn't matter. It's a poor organization. It doesn't matter. Come on, man. JB, you going to do me like that? You gonna set me up with a question like that? Reggie,
the Colts got a Super Bowl
now.
The Colts are
in
the Super Bowl now.
Yeah, 15 years ago. Stop it. Reggie, answer the question. You're better at that
than I am. I'm gonna tell you this.
Homer.
Duke used to be a Colts fan. Now
he's
here for losers and
Reggie.
Nah, he's a Tallahassee fan.
Reggie,
he's an Alabama fan. He's mad.
Reggie, answer
he's mad because
question,
the Colts. He's just mad because the coach didn't take one of the Alabama players that he wanted us to
take. I'm not mad.
Then that's what
they
left the colors.
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to tell you this. If they find somebody better than Wentz, Ursay has let it be known that he's out of here. He's willing
it's
to
over.
Eat that $15 million.
$15 million and a first and a third. Don't forget that, dummy. This is the problem. That's a poor leadership situation, too. Just stop it. Let's go back to the Pacers, the team that we love.
Ursay trusts this GM, and the GM messed it up. He let him know. He said, I trust
up,
you
man?
To do this, and you didn't do it.
I go for that.
I got to get some change.
All right. Boys, I'll give
he's
you
a
last.
He's a Pacers game, by the way.
I'll give you a chance for your last thought. Deacott, you're first.
Oh, Lord. Longest Pacers. Oh. Hello?
He's at the Pacer game.
Go ahead.
I said this is your final words from both of you, so I'll give you your first up, Deacott. Final words before we let you go.
Okay. God bless you all. I'm not at the Pacer game because I gave the tickets to my son tonight. I'm at 109, and I'm looking at a red 30 right now, and a
oh, wow.
black 14. The next time I have this conversation, bed. JB, the next time I have this conversation, you're going to be with me. I'm just telling you.
Thanks, Scott.
So my last statement is D-Cott is a loser and a dummy.
Oh,
secondly, Tyler Hilliburton, the Pacers will be contenders in the next 4 years.
Hilliburton.
The Pacers will be contenders in 4 years.
Really?
The Pacers will be contenders. The Colts will be back in the playoffs next year, and Wentz will be on his last leg because I don't know who else we're going to replace him with. And don't take betting advice from D-Cott. And Jonathan, keep eating your Twister, and I'm out.
Oh, wow. Guys are idiots. In Three Foolish Men, I put you right in that category.
My goodness. I heard a lot of yes.
You brought them on. You brought them on here.
That's we get 10 minutes of fun. We get 10 minutes of fun and chaos. That's all we get. goodness, I'm shook right now between that, just complete shook, and it's just
you're a fraud. Just stop.
That exactly. He's just a fraud. He just needs to stop. We're gonna take a quick ad break. When we come back, we'll hit the hardwood. Little small talk NBA that. These Yahoos already a little bit talked about, and then we'll hit the college hardwood. We got some big games.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, specialized custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. They offer pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today. Custom LED lighting, custom audio accessory installs, custom rims, you name it, they got it. They have all the top brands and more. Check them out, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. Johnny, you there? I haven't put it in still. Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. We also want to thank our sponsor, Wise Logistics. That's Wise Logistics. They're your Amazon delivery service, commercial or domestic. They'll take care of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wise Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. That's 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
All right, John. We're back. College basketball. I want to dive in before we actually go into these teams. I want to talk Duke basketball, John. They got 5 games left. Shire and them got a good win. With Coach Hay going out, missing the second half, and a last-second bucket over Wake Forest. It was a good win for them. And now they've got 5 games left. All 5 of them, they're going to be very heavily favored to win. Right now, Duke is currently sitting at a 2 seed, where we kind of have them right now sitting. They have a shot opportunity for number one. Duke, there's times, John, I feel like they can win the national championship, and I feel like there's times that they show this team that they can't. But between that and then the latest, the book that's coming out here in a couple weeks, which I'm going to purchase, about Coach K and that how the university wanted Tommy Amaker as head coach. Coach K wanted John Shire and told Amaker, this is not your squad. You are not coaching this team. Wow. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more stuff in there. Allegations how with the Zion Williamson and how the rules committee benefits Duke a little bit better people. And then how in 2016, I guess, is when the relationship between Bob Knight and Coach K finally fell apart. There's going to be a lot of blockbusters in this book. I can't wait to get it. What was your thoughts when you first heard Coach K?
Just the thoughts on the game and Duke season as a whole, man. I don't think they've necessarily been tested all year in the ACC, even though they haven't gone undefeated. You know what I'm saying? The ACC, it's a down year for the ACC. I think I do believe as a Showtime, they're the only ACC school ranked in the top 20. There might be one, maybe Florida State. No, not even Florida State. But no, I don't think they've been. But I think there's more than one. I think there's more than three teams that probably make it to the tournament from the ACC. But again, I don't think Duke and ACC. They look like a good Sweet 16 team. I think they make it to the Sweet 16. Outside of that, they're going to meet a whole lot of trepidation when they have to play against a big, one of the top three teams out of the Big East, the Big 12 or even the SEC this year, because those are the two conferences I think that got the best teams. They could potentially win. When I mean about the best teams, they could potentially win the Final Four.
Right.
I don't know. Hopefully I don't get me in trouble with my folks in Purdue, because we'll get to them in a little bit. As far as the book is concerned, of course, you know what I'm saying, when you're on top of the basketball world, everybody's going to want to bring you down. And this is, you know what I'm saying, the king is leaving his throne, Mike Krzyzewski. He's not necessarily leaving because he's going to be on campus still, which is kind of weird, shadowing the program because he got an office. And I can't really see him not putting his thumbprint somewhere on that squad and in that athletic department as a whole, man. So that's going to be awkward. Tommy Amaker, great, historically a great Duke player. You know what I'm saying? There's no way I could say this kid, Tommy Amaker, would get it over John Shire. John Shire also was on a great Duke team that won a national championship. Tommy Amaker wasn't on a Duke team that won a national championship. He was kind of there just to help when Duke was in this. You know, saying in this role of building to become the basketball, to becoming a blue blood, he was there. Tommy Amaker coaching record speaks for itself. He's multi-champion in the Ivy League, as he's led Harvard to many championships. His tenure at Michigan probably left something to be desired in Michigan. You know what I'm saying? 6 years, I do believe, at Michigan. It was coming out of a whole lot of school sanctions and whatnot, self sanctions and NCAA sanctions. But once those things were lifted, he only made an NIT one time in a tournament he never did make at Michigan. But he also has a great record, you know what I'm saying, as head coach of Seton Hall, too. So, again, man, people aren't paying it as racism or something like that. I think it's more something like the Godfather, you know what I'm saying? And Mike Krzyzewski is the Godfather. And he says, He went through his sons. He has a lot of basketball sons, you know what I'm saying, if you think about it, from his family, coach family tree. Capels is still at Old Dominion, I do believe. And then I think Nate James, I think, is at Austin Peay. I could be wrong about that. But he has a lot of another guy at Florida, the Florida team that won, that went to the Sweet 16 just a couple years ago when Zion Williamson and them was playing him. He's part of the coaching tree. So he has a lot of satellites, but, you know what I'm saying, who often gets the big chair, his chair, you know what I'm saying, is on Mike's. And it's nothing that other schools don't do, you know what I mean? So this is all, you know what I'm saying, Godfather-type stuff, you want to call it, you know, want to call it a good old boy network, but, you know what I'm saying, understand that there's other nationalities and ethnicities in this good old boy network. If you look at what IU did with Coach Woodson and who they have, basically a coach in waiting. And my goodness, help me out, Brandon. Who's the coach in waiting? They got him from Michigan State this past year, but he's the coach in waiting. My goodness, Dane Fife. Thank you, Dane Fife.
Yeah.
So this is what schools do. I mean, this Purdue did it with Coach Painter as he was an assistant head coach with Coach
Katie.
Before he took over. Yeah, Jim Katie before he took on. So. A lot of schools do this, you know what I'm saying? So, So if people have a problem with it, then throw stones at that, at the system, not necessarily try to paint it as a black and white type of deal. And I don't think that's what it is. I think it's legit that coach doesn't think Tommy Amaker can handle the gig for whatever. That is a high-pressure gig. And I'm not saying Tommy Amaker can't handle high pressure at all. You know
know what I'm saying? But managing an Ivy League team like Harvard is different. It's worlds apart, right, from handling Duke. You know what I'm saying? So the book would be obviously, you know what I'm saying, it's something that everybody would be reading or whatnot. But, you know, just because, again, Mike Krzyzewski runs the Duke program like the Godfather. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it's going to be.
All right. Let's move into our two local teams here that are kind of having a season. Sorry, Butler. We'll off of you for a week. Purdue and Indiana. Let's talk Indiana Hoosiers first. Let's talk Indiana Hoosiers, John. Indiana's lost four or five straight now. They are now the projections with the brackets are actually one of the first four out of the NCAA tournament. You've got them going to Ohio State next. A loss last night. They had a lead against Wisconsin. And then untimely shots by Xavier Johnson. When Chase Jackson Davis is in the post and should be taking some of these shots, he passes them up when it matters most in clutch time, which just doesn't make sense to me on that. Wrong guys are shooting at the wrong time. You got Galloway, who almost broke the backboard with how hard he shot the ball, and it didn't even draw a rim. It smacked backboard. Bad shots at different times. People more concerned about fighting and roughing it up than actually playing basketball. Hoosiers lost a one game they should have won at home against Wisconsin. Now they got to go on the road to Bucky Land out there, and it's going to be interesting.
Here's what you can say, man. I tweeted at IU Mark Dan Dawkins today and said, you know what I'm saying, who had nothing but criticism about Al Durham and Amon Franklin on their way out, and essentially their replacements are a downgrade. I don't know the true reason why Durham and Amon Franklin left the program or whatever. But, you know what I'm saying? People said they couldn't shoot, they couldn't play or whatever, and here they are on teams and producing. You know what I'm saying? If anybody want to check where Virginia is at or Seton Hall is at and check their stats. With that being said, you know what I'm saying, I don't really have a problem with Stewart. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants a battler, you know what I'm saying, on their team, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants a guy who's half cocked, right? And ready to, you know what I'm saying, to escalate it to something that, you know what I'm saying? I won't say not basketball, because it's competitive juices. They run over sometimes and tempers flare. But, you know, you want somebody on your team with edge. What you don't want is poor shooting. And him, Stewart, Galloway, Xavier Johnson, all did not play very complimentary basketball from a guard standpoint, which is what IU has been known for historically. When you think about Jordy Holes, when you think about, and I'm not even talking about those aren't even championship, you know what I'm saying, the Big Ten, or they won a Big Ten championship, but Jordy Holes, Tom Cloverdale, you know what I'm saying, even going back to Isaiah Thomas and Steve Alford, you know what I'm saying, IU is known for his great guard play, and right now that's not what's happening. We have some good guys up front. When you think about Ray Thompson, and you think about what Trey Jackson Davis is doing, from a season standpoint, but they haven't gotten great guard play, complimentary guard play. I don't know what situation is going on with Christian Lander, if he is even a Big Ten type of player. I don't know what happened with Anthony Lills. I don't know what's happening with Anthony Lills' confidence, because he was a one-time Mr. Basketball of the state of Indiana, but he only gets like 4 to 5 minutes, or even garbage minutes at some time. But again, so the guard play again, it's still kind of coming into question for me. And I think Coach Woodson has mastered up or whatnot. I think, you know, since the Northwestern game, when he sat down the five guys, hurt more than helped, obviously. I get it, you have to be disciplinary or whatnot, but, you know, since, however, whatever the story was, they stayed out for curfew or was it weed, they sacrificed that loss right there. You know what I'm saying? That hurt their chances of making a tournament. They are in an uphill battle. The good thing is they have in their campus, they beat Ohio State earlier already this year. But unfortunately, you can't beat the same team twice the same way. So I would imagine Ohio State's going to be looking out for revenge. It's not blood. So, you know, I don't know. This better be this, if IU plans to win, this best be the time that the streaky guards get hot instead of ice cold as they were at home. They have shown to be some. I can't even call them road warriors. They've won some games on the road. They have this year, But that is a real battle because they're going to have to go against in Ohio State. So I know you're not necessarily asking me, you know what I'm saying, who's going to win that particular game or not. Gun to head, right? I'm gonna have to go with the Hoosiers. I just, you know what I'm saying? I
wow.
like what I saw out of Chris Jackson Davis. I have, man. You know what I'm saying? But
just because
teams have been able to, some of the better teams have been able to at least, you know what I'm saying, come back. Look at what Maryland did against, you know what I'm saying, after getting blown out. Look what they did against Purdue. Put the scare in Purdue, where Purdue had to wake up, right? But, again, uphill battle. The guards know if Mike Woodson getting them guards, they're like, dude, we play it outside in instead of inside out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, play inside out instead of outside, instead of shooting. You know what I'm saying? Go to Trace and go to Race. How about that first? And then you get yours. Then I think they'll be fine, and if they lose this game, they'll win the rest of them. But this has to be a game that they win if they want to make the tournament.
All right, so they're at Ohio State this Saturday at noon. Buckeyes, number 18 in the country, 16-6 overall. They're home next Thursday against Maryland. Maryland comes to town next Thursday, so they'll have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, 4 days off before Maryland comes to town. They will then go to Minnesota to take on Minnesota. They're home against Rutgers in their home finale on March 2nd, and then they'll go at Purdue on Saturday, March 5th. No time determined yet. Me and John will both be there for this Hoosiers-Purdue game, where it could be a resume builder for Indiana if somehow they can pull off the upset against Purdue there in West Lafayette. So those are the five games left for them. Looking at the team north, Purdue Boilermakers, number 5 in the country, 22-4 overall. They had a big victory, comeback victory on Sunday. They woke up, as JMV put it, from their nap, beat Maryland 62-61. They play tonight. They're at Northwestern. I think they're going to handle Northwestern tonight. And I just think the way they played against Maryland, the way they played against Michigan those last two games, I think they're going to have a little more sense of urgency. They're going to have a little more focus tonight against Northwestern. I don't think they have a problem with that. They play Sunday at home against Rutgers. That's going to be a rematch where they Rutgers beat them with the last second buzzer beater. So that'll be interesting to see how that one goes. Then they're at Michigan State, at Wisconsin, back-to-back games there. That's going to be two tough ones for Purdue. And then they're home against Indiana to finish their season. So with their five games left. A little bit tougher than Indiana's schedule with the Boilermakers, but right there still, top of the Big Ten, chance to win it up there with Illinois, Wisconsin, and Michigan State.
Yeah, scary one. Scary one at West Lafayette. That would have been a bad loss against Maryland at home. Though they wouldn't have been up definitely on nobody's bubble or anything like that. They would have probably slipped from being a 2 or 3 seed. Yeah, they probably would slip from being a 2 seed to definitely a 4 or 5 seed. So, I know when I look at games like that against Maryland, it makes me think Purdue can just waltz his way right into a Sweet 16. But then when push comes to shove against a more athletic backcourt, you know what I'm saying, this kind of gives me a pause and to think that they can go any further than a Sweet 16. But again, they proved. I thought Maryland had them dead to rights, but, and again, Purdue pushed back and proved me wrong. So I tip my hat to the Boilermakers always. They can't have lulls in games where the lesser opponents are getting the best of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see. Boilers are on here at 9 o'clock here tonight on Wednesday, up in Northwestern. We'll see how that one goes. A lot of good basketball. Tennessee knocked off Kentucky. Ty-Ty Washington for Kentucky last night. Tennessee got a nice victory. Tonight we've got a good one with Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech and Baylor tonight in Lubbock.
Mm-hmm.
I think Texas Tech ends up. I've got them picked to beat Baylor tonight. So we'll kind of see how that goes as well. Auburn's still kind of doing their thing. The Big East, Villanova had a huge win over Providence last night. I thought Providence would have had a good chance to get them, but didn't happen. But we're tightening up. John, we're getting close to the conference tournaments. We're getting to March Madness, my favorite time, our selection show. that we'll be having and everything. So looking forward to that. Real quick, we just got a couple minutes left. The Daytona 500 right. This weekend. Denny Hamlin's your favorite right now. Qualifying's tonight for the pole, and then the twin 125 qualifying races are tomorrow. So these odds will change a little bit. But right now, Hamlin's your favorite, and then Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, and Joey Logano. Those are your top five right now to possibly win the Great American Race on Sunday with the new next generation car. So the car's changed up a little bit. The packages have changed. So racing's going to be a little bit different this year than in past now they have their next generation vehicle. And then, John, the Cody Rhodes, AEW, Cody Rhodes and Brandy, they're out of AEW. Apparently there's some riffraff in the backstage area that not getting along with stuff. Cody wanted a more lucrative contract. Tony Khan said no because he wanted what Bryan Danielson and CM Punk got. He said no. Mm-hmm. He's dipped. Looks like WWE is going to swoop up Cody Rhodes. And you would have talked about this a year ago, or hell, even 2 years ago when AEW started, that Cody Rhodes would be back in WWE. And it looks like it's happening.
Right. Right. So much trash. He talked about WWE on his way out, being disrespected from the family standpoint, you know what I'm saying, with things that his dad took, you know what I'm saying, happened with his dad behind stage, things happened with his brother, Dustin, behind the, you know what I'm saying, behind the curtain and whatnot. Cody Rhodes set himself on fire, man. He thought he was worth more than $3 million that Tony Khan was offering. So he's going to. He probably ends up back with Vince and, you know what I'm saying, gets his name back, gets his catalog back, all that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they do a documentary about him or whatever. Maybe, you know what I mean? It'll be open arms until he has to job out to, you know what I'm saying, to Shinsuke or somebody like that. But not, like, no, man, you know what I'm saying? It was real shocking to see Cody Rhodes leave AEW.
Yeah, absolutely. Spoiler alert for those who don't want to listen to some spoilers on Walking Dead from the season premiere this week. Go ahead and turn it off now. If you watch Walking Dead, we're getting ready to do spoilers because me and John both watched it and we need to talk it.
Uh-oh.
All right, now's your time to turn it off. You've turned it off, hopefully. John, my God, what a show. Maggie's a savage and she doesn't really give a damn. So I was curious about that, and then the fact the way it ended with Daryl, holy cow! I told you, I sent you, I called you. I said, man, my heart's beating. I did not expect that.
Yeah, the world of The Walking Dead changes everybody, doesn't it? You point out obviously Maggie and Daryl. Look where the priest is at in his journey.
Yeah.
since he used to be a coward, the priest used to be a coward, and coward. Well, you know, I won't say
he was
a coward.
You were right.
Now he's cold-blooded killer, you know. But the world of The Walking Dead just changes you. I know a lot of people have kind of fallen out of a fandom with Walking Dead. I watch it still religiously, you know what I'm saying, Sunday after Sunday, and I still enjoy it. I know this is the last season. It needs to be. It's fine with it being the last season. But like, no, man, you're spot on from what Maggie used to be. And showing compassion and mercy that there is none. And then when the Commonwealth show up, right, spoiler alert, Brandon didn't say it, so you blame me, but the Commonwealth finally shows up on their doorstep. Eugene, you idiot, he leads them to their doorstep, right? Oh, man, you just know that there's going to be conflict, but you just don't know that what it's going to be explained within the next couple
right.
episodes, right? Like how Daryl ends up siding with the Commonwealth. So I don't know. I think it's really just setting us up for a big, huge reveal when Rick shows back up. And
where's
Negan?
Right,
and Negan. But here's the thing, though, Brandon. Rick is probably with the Commonwealth.
Uh-oh.
Just my theory. I'm not. That's not in the show, folks. That's just my theory. I think Rick is just coming with. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. We'll see what happens. Just love that the show's back on. AEW tonight. Apparently, the Inner Circle is breaking up. So there's that's me. So we'll see. I'm okay with it. is what it is. John, probably not a show next week, folks. We're going to take a week off, restart the refresh the gears, as they'd say, and then we'll be back with Season 5 of Crossroads Sports Radio, Season 5, Episode 201 in 2 weeks. Next week, we may give you guys a little Instagram Live for maybe 30, 40 minutes to kind of talk a little bit of our stuff that we've got. So I don't have anything else. John, I'll let you say your thing, and then you can wrap it up, man.
Let's wrap it up, man. So great show. Thanks for all the friends of the program, Decott, Reg, and our homie to the east. Oh, my God. Shame on me, Brandon. Help me. Dude, I'm having foggy memory today, man. It must be senility coming in or something like that, man. Sweet Lou. Shame on me. Thanks to Sweet Lou for calling in, man. I'm actually trying to make his show on Saturday. It's surprising if you ain't listening still. But, like, no, man, thanks to all the friends of the program calling in, chiming in, and giving us just a sports opinion. Thanks to our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motor Sports. Thanks to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Thanks to our other sponsor, Wiseman Logistics. I got to say thanks to all the folks who kind of chatted up with us on the Facebook Live. Kelly, happy birthday, Tamika, and the homie Justin. Can't forget him. But, like, no, man, great show, episode number 200. We'll be back in 2 weeks for episode 201. We'll probably have a special guest or two. That particular, I'm going to say, I'm going to keep it as a surprise for episode 201. So outside of that, man, everybody, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.